And so we're going to be starting a series called God With Us. And we're going to be just talking about through this whole month, we're going to be talking about God with us in certain areas of our lives. What's it like to have God with us in the wilderness? What's it like to have God with us in the desert? What's it like to have God with us in the storm? And then what's it like to have God with us in our own, in the interior, our inner life, in our heart, mind, and soul, where no one else can go? What does that look like to have God with us there? So we're going to be covering these four areas, diving in and seeing from the Christmas story and through some other stories of the apostles and just biblical stories, how was God with his people throughout the ages? So turn with me to Matthew 1, verses 21 through 23. That's where we're going to be starting off here, reading here. So let's read here, and it'll be on your screen as well. It says, that she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Let's pray, church. Father, over these next few moments, just God, we pray that you would illuminate your scripture. May it teach us, may it encourage us, may it rebuke us, may it guide us, and may it edify us. And we just pray that, God, your word would sink deep down into our heart and mind and soul. And God, may we take time to remember that you are with us. And when we turn to you, that God, you promised that you would be with us. And so, God, I just pray for the one today and for myself and anyone that needs to be reminded that, God, you are with us. God, may you solidify that today. May you remind us that you are with us. There's nowhere we can go where we can escape you, Jesus. And so just remind us today that, God, you're with us. And we just say thank you for your word. In your name we pray. Amen. God with us. God with us. Now, for Christians, for many of us in this room, if you're a follower of Jesus, it's easy for us to be like, yeah, God's with us on the mountaintops, right? How many of you are there? Man, when everything's going well, man, you're like, whoo, God is good. When you get a raise, you're like, oh, praise God. When the kids listen to you, you're like, whoo, praise God for that one. They pick up their room or they do their homework, you're like, whoo, right? You're like, man, God must be with me. Or when your favorite team wins, how many times you're like, you know, your team wins, your sports team, you're like, woo, God must be alive. You're like, I'm like, wait a minute. But we're all excited on that, right? We're all thankful for that, and we're so glad. Or maybe, you know, here's the real true test, you know, when God's with you, is when you find that parking spot up by the front door, and you're like, oh, you start getting all Pentecostal on you, right? You start being like, oh, I got the fog, the favor of God in my life. Woo, I'm up front. But now, what happens on the flip side of us? When we're alone and when we're scared, when you break your leg, when the kids are getting F's in school, when the car breaks down, when you work so hard for that promotion you didn't get it, or you discipled this one person, you poured your life into them, and then they turn their back on Christ and walk away very flippantly. What happens then? Do we still remember that God is with us? Do we still remember that as believers? It's really easy for a lot of times for us to think, oh, God's over here. And we say committed and faithful when it's the mountaintops. But as we descend and go into the valleys of life, how often do we tell Jesus, peace out. We turn our backs and think, oh, God's not with me because I'm going through struggle. God must somehow hate me or is not with me anymore. And today, what I want to talk to us about in this month is that our God is with us as we ascend to the mountaintops and as we descend into the valleys. And as we reascend into the mountaintops, our God never leaves us. He's always there. He's faithful and true, and he's with us. And in this Christmas season, I don't know what you're facing. Maybe you're at the top right now. Maybe you're like, ooh, Pastor Dan, man, things are going great. Or maybe you're on the descendant, and you're like, oh, I feel like I'm going into a valley. Or maybe you're in the valley, and you're seeing that God is doing miracles and working and growing and teaching. You're thinking, oh, I'm heading into a mountaintop. Wherever you're at, today, I want to remind you, but more importantly, Scripture wants to remind us that God is with us. Now, he's not for all what we do, right? He's not for sin. He's not for us disobeying. But he is with us as we journey, as we continually align our hearts and minds and souls back to him. Now, what are valleys? Let's define valleys real quick, all right? What is a valley? Valleys are this. Valleys are places of battles, loneliness, and desperation. How many of you have been there in a valley in your own spiritual walk, or in your own life, physical life, journey, you know, raising kids, what, you name it. You've been in a valley. But valleys are also places of what? They're growth, building faith, and experiencing God in different ways. Valleys are not the thing to avoid at all costs. Valleys are to be embraced, and valleys are to say, okay, God, I'm here. I don't want to be here. I feel like I'm in desperate mode. I'm about to die. But what do you want to do? God, what are you trying to say? How can I remember that you're here with me today? And so we may enjoy God on the mountaintops, but we get to know him intimately in the valleys. Now, not everybody's going, woohoo, yeah, Pastor, amen to that one, all right? Me, myself included. A lot of us, we don't want to go through valleys, but how many of you know by your testimony, you would say, I knew Jesus deeper, more intimately in the valleys of my life. When I thought I was, I was up the creek with no paddle and the boat was taking on water, but God was there with me and he proved himself faithful. That is what we're going to journey through these next 4 weeks, about God with us and knowing how to get through some of these valleys and storms and wilderness of our lives. Now, in this season of we can contextualize to our American culture right now, I think our American culture, we're in a big valley. I think we're at a deep valley. We're in a valley that, Lord, if you don't show up, what is the future for our country? And it's not about making sure we get the right political party or the president. Forget all that. That's base level. It's if we don't have Jesus, our country will die. And so we need to contextualize this also. And that's not in a spiritual sense, but also in a literal sense, where we're at in Siouxland. Where are we at in the west side, the north side, the east side? Where's your job at? Is your job in a valley? Is your employer, maybe they're in a valley right now. And you get to be that agent of God to go and say, hey, God is with us. Turn to him. So valley. So today we're going to be talking about valleys and how to get through them. Turn with me to Psalms 84, and it'll be on your screen. Psalms 84, verses 5 through 7. Our main verse through this whole series is going to be that Matthew 1, 21 through 23. But today's highlight verse we're going to talk about and break down is Psalms 84, verses 5 through 7. It's going to be here on your screen as well. And I'm reading out of the ESV, and it says this. It says, blessed are those whose strength is in you, and whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. Now, how many of you ever read that verse? It's a kind of an obscure verse, but we're going to break this down and see how it ties into with Emmanuel, God with us here. Now, in this verse here, we see this valley of Baca. And you might be thinking, well, what is that? It sounds like a Star Wars character. Not Chewbacca, but Baca. What's the Valley of Baca here? All right? What is it? Yeah. It sounds like something weird. But here's what it is. The Valley of Baca. Here's what it is. If you don't know your geography of Israel and Jerusalem, Mount Zion. Zion is just the hill that Jerusalem sits on. So if you look at the topography of Jerusalem, all the surrounding other areas, the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee are all lower. And as you read in the Psalms, when it talks about we go up to Jerusalem, all the pilgrimages to Jerusalem, everyone had to go up through the valley to Jerusalem. Jerusalem set up high on a mountain. And so whenever the surrounding towns and everyone wanted to go to Jerusalem to the temple, everyone had to go up through the valleys and then the deserts and go up to Jerusalem. And so this Valley of Baca, it's not a definite place. It's kind of like if we were to say the west side, we all know the west side. But if I go down to Florida and say, hey, boy, the west side, people would be like, you're talking about the west side of Florida, the west side of Tampa? So everyone in that culture, in that time of Israel, knew the Valley of Baca was this dry place. It was kind of a contextual, cultural place that they would go through. Now, there was a tree called the Weeping Tree in ancient Israel. And in this Valley of Baca, or your scripture might say the Valley of Weeping, it ties into this. This tree that was associated loosely with this Valley of Baca was a tree that produced a resin that would, when it would come down on the bark and come down on the branches, it would almost look like weeps, little drops of the teardrops. And so historians believe it's kind of where it was kind of pulled from, this entomology. But here, this Valley of Baca was a place, every program, when they would come to the feasts and festivals, they would go through. Jesus himself, where he grew up, Jesus would go through, they'd come through the valley and the wilderness and come up and march up into Jerusalem to go to the temple. So this is kind of the context of this verse here a little bit, just to give you some background on this. This valley consisted of what? Thorns and animals and vipers and snakes and all a bunch of just dryness. And this is what everybody went through. So get that in mind in your picture. So let's break down this verse here. The first part is, blessed are those whose strength is in you. This first line, blessed are those whose strength is in you. You may be here today and you don't know God, but you may know God. You may be exhausted. Anyone exhausted in their strength right now? Is anyone weary in their journey? What's interesting here in this is that it doesn't say, blessed are those who make it on their own. Blessed are the Americans that just pull themselves up by their bootstraps and just get through it and keep on keeping on. What does it say? Blessed are those whose strength is in you. If God is with us, then we must depend on the one that is with us and not our own, and not our own strength here. Now, Apostle Paul, he said this famously about strength, and whose strength do we rely on? In 2 Corinthians here, 12:9-10, it's a famous verse. It talks about being weak. And a lot of times it's misquoted, and you probably know the line that's misquoted, or so often it's put on a coffee mug or a Christian t-shirt. But it says this, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. But what is often said is this last verse, for when I am weak, then he is strong. Have you heard that? That's wrong. That's not what the Bible says. A lot of times people quote that. I've heard kids, even in kids' church, Kids Point, have quoted this when we've talked about that. It's for when I am weak, then I am strong. Then I am strong. Blessed are those whose strength is in you. Church, you may be in a valley, and in a valley, we come to the end of our strength. And we have to realize, I need someone else's strength. When you're in the valley, you don't just keep on and just pull yourself up. I'm going to get through. Because a lot of times we all know, if we're honest, we've seen many people go around, around, and around in valleys. And they think, I can just do it. I'm going to fix myself. But this verse right here says that we have to depend on Christ. And in our weakness, it's okay to be weak. Because when we're weak, then we see his power within us. Now, many of you here, you know this. It's not new preaching. But where we're at today in the valley of our life, we have to remember God is our strength. Blessed are those whose strength is in you. It's not in our American might. It's not in our economics. It's not in your 401k. It's not in your good looks or the car. You guys know this is the car you drive. It is, your strength is literally in Jesus. Because as it says here in Scripture, as Paul writes, I am content with weaknesses and insults and hardships. How many of you wrote in your journal this week, dear God, I'm so thankful for my weaknesses. I'm so thankful for the hardships in my life or the insults. I didn't write that. But Paul is saying, when we are thankful for that, God can work, because God's the only one that will lead us out of that valley in our life. Let's look at this next part. It says, let me go back to the verse here. It says, blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways Zion. It's a really interesting phrase. And you might be thinking to yourself, Pastor Dan, well, what does this mean? Some of your translations might say, whose mind is set on him or set on God. It might be your translation if you have the NIV or the New Living Translation. But this metaphor here, this euphemism in Hebrew is this. This word that's used for heart, it means that your innermost being, your innermost courage, it's an inner mindset. It's an inner organ that is dedicated to one thing, that's focused on something. And so this line here that says, whose hearts are the highways to Zion, it's this. Does a highway, where does a highway go? What does a highway do? What's its purpose? It's to do what? It's to take you to a destination, right? And a highway just doesn't meander every which way and just ends up in the middle of a cornfield in Iowa, right? It doesn't do that most of the time, right, Shelley? Most of the time it doesn't do that. But most highways, what? They take you, they give you guardrails, and they fix your car on a set course to where you want to go, to a destination. And I want to ask us today, church, is your innermost heart, is it focused and set on the destination of who God is? When you're in the valley, a couple years ago, we hiked the Grand Canyon, and it's really tempting when you're hiking just to look at just what's right in front of you. And you think, oh my goodness, this is all what's in front of me. But when you look up and you see the rim of the canyon, or you look up and you see the mountaintop, you're like, that's where I'm going. It's the same with God in our own life. When you're always looking at what's in front of us, when you're always looking at, well, what I see in front of me is disappointment. What I see in front of me is another injury. And what I see in front of me is another, you name the thing. But when we look up, when we fix our eyes and mind on God and say, no, this is who my God is. This is what Scripture says of our God. This is what it says. This is who he is. He's faithful and true. Then our hearts are more aligned to stay on that versus just what's in front of us. And in this metaphor here, we need to remind ourselves that we need to set our heart and our mind, whatever we're gazing upon, we need to make sure that it's focused and it's set on Christ. How many of us remember and know when we get our mind and our eyes off Jesus, what happens? We swerve way off track. We get off, we take that exit ramp, and we end down at the 7-Eleven down off there, and we're like, how do we get off the path off the highway? Remember in Colossians 3:2, Paul writes, he says, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are earth. Once again, are we setting our minds on Christ, things that are beyond our current circumstances? In Philippians 4:8, Paul says this. He says, finally, brothers, if it's a familiar verse, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's anything excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And so I want to ask the church, your heart and mind, is it a pathway that for the highways to God, things that are true and praiseworthy and honorable? Or is your heart and mind, does it go wherever? Are you getting it quickly? Are you getting aligned off course? Or is your mind and heart focused on the Word of God and what God has for you and things that are pure and lovely and true? We know that what we think about matters, right? As believers, what you think about and where you put your heart at matters. So make sure that today, we got to make sure that our mind is fixed on God. Look at the next part of the verse here. It says, as they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools, or the early rains cover it with pools. Now, what does this have to do with God with us and persevering and fixing our minds on Him? Think about this. The valley is not the destination. How many of you know that you've gotten out of a valley before? You've seen God taking you out of a valley before. God doesn't say, hey, you know what? You're my creation, and I'm just going to leave you in the valleys. God says, you know, you're going to go through things, but I'm faithful. I'm with you. But the destination is not the valley, because we are just passing through. Look at this verse here. It says, as they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. It doesn't say as they go into the valley and stay there, set up camp, live their lives, you know, live there, die there, breathe there, have kids there, and it's horrible. It's as they go through to Mount Zion, as they go through up to Jerusalem. How many of you are having the mindset where you think, well, the valley is it. I've arrived. I have arrived in the valley. This is the best it's going to get. You know, you ever had that person that's like, I was born here, I'm going to die here, that, you know, stinking attitude, and just, you know, and you over here, like, you know, if you make one decision, one choice, you'd be out of that hardship, but they're like, they just keep circling that. As believers today, I want to encourage you, we're not meant to hang out there. We're supposed to go through that. Now, think about this. In this scripture verse, it's talking about the pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Now, if we're in the valley, if we go to the left or the right, what's going to happen? If we go left or right, we're not going to go ascend the hill and go to Mount Zion. If we go to left or right, we're going to go out back in the desert and then loop back around again. You're going to go out to left or right, you're going to loop back around. And so going through is the only way to reach those mountaintops again, to reach that place of fixing our eyes on Jesus. The city of refuge, which was what Mount Zion was called, is also a place of peace. But in this verse here, the travelers had to go through the Valley of Baca, or the Valley of Weeping, the Valley of Tears, had to go through a desert and dry place to get there. Now, let's look at this next part of the verse. It says they make it a place of springs, or in the King James, and in the Hebrew or the NIV, it might say they make it a well. Now, let me just paint this for you. It's when you're going through the valley, has it been easier for you to get through the valley when you make it a place of worshiping and praising God sacrificially? When you're going through the valley, have you found that it's easier, it's quicker, when you say, God, I need your help. God, I worship you. I don't know. I'm up to my head in mud and muck, and I don't know what to do, but God, I'm going to worship and praise you. Don't you find yourself getting through that quicker and feeling God's power and presence more a lot of times? This verse here in the Hebrew, it talks about a place of refreshment. When this make a well, and what are they talking about here about making a well? They're talking about slowing down to remember that God is with you in these valleys. So often in the valleys, our minds aren't focused on Him, and we're taking the way left and right, and we just keep circling back, and we don't slow down and say, God, where are you at in this journey? Where are you at in the valley? Where do you want to show up and show off your power? But we keep thinking, well, I'm just going to look through this circumstance or this or that, and we don't look up and say, God, where are you taking me to? What's this next adventure? But we don't slow down to take a place for God to pour out and show His power. We sit in the valleys, and sometimes what we all do is we pout, we sit down and be like, well, God's not for me, and we think something's, you know, God must love the other person more or this or that. But I want to encourage you to take time to slow down in the valleys and just praise God and say, God, show me where you're at. You said that you are with me. So be with me in this valley. As I'm going through up to Mount Zion, up to that next mountaintop, be with me here. Now, you may be thinking, hey, Pastor Dan, you know, I'm going through a real hard time right now. This sounds great, but boy, sure signs can feel like salt in the wounds if someone's going through something. But I want to encourage you this, in this phrase, ready? It's this. If you dig it, God will fill it. If you dig it, God will fill it. And here's what I mean by that, is this. To have a pool, to make a spring, what do you do to make a spring? What do you have to do to make a well? If you've ever done, you have to dig. You have to be still and dig. Have you ever seen anybody dig a hole while they're moving around and running a marathon? Nope. What happens? To dig a hole, you have to be still. Put the shovel in one scoop at a time. And to dig a well to a spring, you have to stop and dig down and dig down. And what this verse talks about here too is about as you dig, it says that those autumn rains or the early rains come and fills and makes pools. Well, a pool can only be a pool if what? If it has depth and has room to fill something. Now, if you're just constantly busy in your valley, constantly complaining, constantly having your eyes fixed down here and thinking, woe is me, or I can fix myself, how can you ever create room for God to fill you with his power and might or to show up and show off in your life? How can it be if we don't slow down? You have to slow down. Remember, Scripture says, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. If you seek me, you will find me. If you make room for me, God says, I will reveal myself to you. But how many in our valleys do we just keep going on? I'm going to take time. Remember Moses. Moses had to do what? Moses had to slow down to see the burning bush. God had to slow Moses' roll down and say, take off your shoes, buddy. Come over here for a moment. Let me reveal who I am. And what happened to the burning bush? Moses left the valley of the desert of Midian, tending sheep, taking care of dirty, nasty sheep, to now being the leader of Israel, bringing Israel out and going forward. But Moses had to slow down. What did Jesus say to us too? He said, be still. Know me. God doesn't want us to go through our valleys alone. He wants to be there with us. God with us. And church, today if you're in a valley, I want to encourage you and tell you, you're going to get through this, but fix your eyes on him. Don't take the easy left out or the right out and just circle back. Slow down. Take time to dig a well and say, God, I believe you're going to bring those rains again. The rain refers in Scripture as refreshing, as spirit. It's the times of God restores, redeems. That's what the rain kind of represents in Hebrew Scriptures as a time of refreshing. Slow down and say, God, I'm in a valley, but I'm going to dig a well. I'm going to make space. I'm going to make room for you to refresh me, to show me your power and might. We talked a few weeks ago about how God, Jesus is the light in the darkness. The Word of God is our lamp. We talked about how to get through storms. And today I want to remind us today that we should enjoy him on the mountaintops, but we really do get to know him in the valleys. How many of you have had a friend stick by you in a valley time, in a hard time, and you've got to know that friend really, really well, right? That's why so often men in war come out lifelong battle buddies, lifelong friends, because they went through a hard time together. They went through a hard time together. Now, this last verse I want to end with is this. Psalms 139, verses 7 through 10. It's a one you've probably heard. It says this. It says, where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take wings of the morning, dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. Now, what does the opening of this verse sound like? It sounds like a mountaintop, and it sounds like a valley. Where can we go from God's Spirit, church? What's the answer? It's rhetorical. Nowhere. God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Now, it's hard. I hope you hear me say, it's not fun to go through valleys. It's not like we sit there and we're like, yeah. But we have to remember that God's with us. And if we sit there and make time, God will fill us and refresh us. He'll remind us that he's faithful to take us out of the valley into that next mountaintop experience. And he's there. He promises that wherever we go, his Spirit's with us. And this Christmas season, there's many people that you and I are going to encounter that need to know Jesus. There's a lot of people out in our city. They may have a nice tree, have a sweet present in the tree, driving a brand new truck, and have Christmas lights everywhere, but church, they are in the valley, and they're in darkness and sickness and sin, and they need a hope and a future. And church, you get to go walk with them in that valley. You get to go be that person that helps them slow down, dig a hole, dig a well, to let God come in and pour in refreshment and those rains there. And so I want to ask this. Here's our closing question is this. Who needs to dig a well and fix your heart and mind on the Lord to refresh you? Who needs to do that? Who needs to take time to slow down and let God fill you with his presence and his strength? The opening of our verse says, blessed are those whose strength is in you. Is your strength in God today? Is your strength in God today? And in this Christmas season, do you know that God is with you today? And are you taking that time to remember He wants to be with you? He desires to know you and you and you and you and you. Down to our grandkids, our kids, our young adults, our teenagers, the senior citizens, the grandma, grandpas. God wants to know everyone. He wants to be with us. But you have to go through some valleys sometimes. And in those valleys, we have to slow down and make sure that we make time for God to be in our life, to make sure that we are refocused, to make sure that our heart and our mind are focused on that like as a scripture, that it's a pathway to Zion. We have to make sure that nothing else gets in that way. We don't let any talk or negative things from anyone else or any type of other influence that would say, oh, your God's not real. Your God can't show up. Your God can't fix this. We have to make sure that our hearts are dedicated to Him and focused and fixed on Him today. And so as we go this week, as we go home this week, I just want to encourage you, take time this week to slow down, dig a well, ask God, say, God, speak to me. Whether you're on a mountaintop or you're in the valley, dig a well, slow down, let God refresh you. In this time of season, Christmas can be very busy, and we can be really busy with all the great things of Christmas, all the great things. But church, slow down and know that our God is with us, Emmanuel, God with us in the valleys, and that you too and myself will get through this valley. Whatever valley, and you're going to get through it, and you're going to go to the mountaintop again. God's going to be there. But on the mountaintop, when we feel that other valley coming, remember, as you go through down that valley again, remember that your God is with you, and be encouraged in that. So let's pray, church. And let's pray. Let's ask God to be with us in these valleys here today. Father, we come before you and we just say thank you that you are with us. And God, I pray that today we would take time to slow down and to see you alive and fresh in our life. I pray that God, we would slow down to spend time with you and allow you to refresh us and to recorrect our mind and our heart, our eyes, if they're not on you. May you, God, refocus us, recenter us on you. And we know that, that you are with us, that you won't leave us, and we can't go anywhere from your Spirit. And that, God, you're faithful, that when you said you will not forsake us or leave us. And so, God, I pray for the one today that's in here that's going through a hard time. I pray that, God, you would show up. I pray that you would refresh them with your Spirit, God, with whatever they need, God. I pray that you would come mightily and boldly into their life and show up and remind them that you are the God who cares, you're the God who sees, you're the God that formed them and made them. And that, God, no lie of the enemy, no spirit, no demonic force, no darkness can overcome your children. Because, God, you are in us and you're with us. And so, God, go with us today through every valley that we will face this week. God, may we give you the glory. May our eyes stay focused on you. And we may know that, God, as we go out of that valley, God, may we bring others with us. May we point and show others to you, Jesus. May we show them that you are the way, God, that you, our hearts, God, are aligned with you. And that our minds are focused on you this week, God. So thank you for all that you're doing, Jesus. We pray that, God, you go with us. And we pray this on your Son's strong name, in Jesus' strong name. Amen.